We are planning on continuing our journey through Ephesians chapter Ephesians. We are ready for chapter 4, verse 17. Excuse me. I was on the list to prepare a message the last time we had a significant amount of snow, and so I should have been prepared and had all that ready and wouldn't have had to study any time this week, but I procrastinated and didn't prepare much, and so spent my time yesterday preparing for this message. But I do thank the Lord that He met me, and it's interesting, though, too, how that different vibes that I've heard and sensed here already this morning, that it seems like the Lord is interested in taking us on in our Christian walk. And it seems to me like this is what Paul's heart was when he was writing the letter to the church at Ephesus. His heart was that the church, that the people at Ephesus would continue to know what it means to walk out the Christian life. You know, and he started out the book of Ephesians with, that you may know the spiritual blessings in heavenly places for you as Christians. You know, he was setting the foundation. And, you know, he reminded us that we were dead in sin, but we were quickened in chapter 2. We were quickened by the Spirit of the Lord. That's you as Christians. Christ is our cornerstone. You know, he's laying these foundations. And as I was thinking and studying again of chapter 4, I sensed that heart coming out again, that the church at Ephesus would be faithful Christians to the end. And that is my prayer here this morning, that we could learn what it means to be faithful Christians to the end. So the theme of this part of the passage of chapter 4 is putting on the new man. And we're just going to look at what that means. First, of course, we know that we need to put something off before we put the new man on. I had to think a little bit about Gary's message a few weeks ago. It was talking about, don't use the old wineskin. Don't. We need new wineskin. And same way with needing the new man. But I invite you to stand with me in honor of God's word as we read it. I'll be reading through the end of the chapter, starting in verse 17. Ephesians 4. Do invite you to get your word and follow along. I've found that other versions, if you have other versions, they bring different elements, and that can be very beneficial. So, 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard of him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversations, the old man, put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. Interesting. Sunday school lesson, the adult Sunday school lesson was on being a giver, helping the neighbor. So interesting. That is what happens when the new man is put on. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I would also like to pull a verse from the first verse out of chapter 5, which I feel like helps us really get to the heart of the matter. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And some versions use take the word followers and replace it with imitators. So therefore, my title of the message today is, you are an imitator. But the question is, of what? Please stay standing with me as we continue to invite the Lord to make these scriptures applicable to us, as the Spirit wanted to do to the church at Ephesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, illuminate it. Make it applicable. Bring it to the realities of our hearts today. What does it mean to take off the old man? Take off the self. What does that mean? What does that look like? What does it mean to be renewed in our mind? What does it mean to put on the new man? Lord, help us to know what that looks like, that we don't become self-righteous. Teach us, Lord. And show us how that new man walks out obedience. Lord, reveal that to us. Lord, would you illuminate these people's hearts with your Holy Spirit, that they would know what it means to be a day-in and day-out Christian. And Lord, teach us what it means to follow you. Teach us what it means to imitate you in 2026. Come now. We ask these things, and we invite your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing with me. You are welcome to be seated. So, again, the title, you are an imitator. The question is, of who? Or what? So we'll start again in verse 17, and Paul addresses the church that they don't walk. In my version here in King James, it says that ye walk not as the other Gentiles. So he was addressing Gentile folks. In the church of Ephesus, there were Gentiles. There were also some Jews there. But he was saying, he was really challenging the congregation there at Ephesus. Don't walk like the other Gentiles. So I'm assuming he was thinking of the Gentiles that aren't naming the name of Christ. So he's talking about the Gentiles. And I thought, for the sake of us maybe understanding how Gentiles walk, I think we somewhat know how Gentiles walk, because we are Gentiles, and we that were sinners and are born again, can we remember what it was like to walk in that mindset, in that darkness? But isn't it kind of interesting that Paul is speaking to Christians and he's reminding them
Why do we need to be reminded, as Christians, why do we need to be reminded not to walk as the other Gentiles walk? Is it because our pretenders, we're not exempt from flesh? We're not exempt from self? We're not exempt from the mind and the influences of the world? Could it be that's why Paul is addressing them? I think so. I think when I look at, yes, we are born again. Yes, the new man is birthed within us. But then it's the walking out of the renewing of our mind, and that we put off the old self. And that is something that somebody will need to keep addressing until their last breath is drawn, is being renewed in the spirit to put off the old and to put on the new. So don't walk like the Gentiles. Don't have a mind like the Gentiles. Don't let your imagination, don't let the vanity of your mind take you and think like a Gentile. Verse 18, they had their understanding is darkened. See, they don't have the light. The Gentiles don't have the light of the gospel in that, coming into and illuminating their path. They don't open the word of truth. The Gentiles don't invite the word of truth into their thinking and into their walk. They are alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. And let's turn back to Romans chapter 1, and I thought that maybe that would just help us get a picture into the reality of the depravity of mankind. Maybe even sometimes we as Christians can get caught up into some of these things, and it starts drawing our hearts away. But praise God for the Spirit. He continues to quicken us. He continues to draw us back to the ways of the Lord. Verse 21, I'd like to start in verse 21 of chapter 1. Because that when they knew God, see, this is what happens. They knew God, but they glorified him not as God. And that's how the other Gentiles walk. They might know of God, but they do not glorify him as God. Neither were they thankful. But they became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. So the walk of the life of the other Gentiles is they might know about God, but they don't honor him as God. They don't meditate on God. They don't honor him. They don't thank him. Their imaginations are vain. Vain means earthly. Vain means temporal. Vain means, yeah, it's just that emptiness. It's dark. Aren't you curious why Paul is addressing the church, Christian people? He's addressing these in Ephesus. Don't do this. Walk in a different way. You know, Jesus walked here on the earth, and he showed us how to walk. Jesus walked a different path. And that's what Paul is inviting us to walk a different path, to think about life in a different way. And we'll get to that. How does that all happen? How does that take place? His Spirit quickens us to be able to walk like Jesus walked. And that is the power of the gospel. Jesus' salvation, the power of Jesus' salvation is that he can take an old man and a Gentile mind that is dark and that is vain, that their imaginations are vain and that they are, do not like to retain God in their knowledge. The gospel of Jesus can take Gentiles like that and renew their mind and renew their spirits. And through conviction of the Spirit and repentance, we can turn and we can walk a different way of life. We don't have to walk like the other Gentiles walk. Let us never lose the power of that gospel. Our walk of life is oriented or directed by the imaginations of our mind. And we'll get into more of that as we look at the mind and what I think is paramount to be able to live day in and day out in a, to live that holy Christian life day in and day out, it starts by that renewed mind. It directs how we walk. So let's look at verse 22, where it says, "Put off concerning the former conversation." So let me just read it. Verse 22, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust." So a few things that I would like to bring out here about putting off. Do you notice that he is not addressing necessarily a whole list of things to put off? What is he asking us to put off? Somebody, what is he asking us to put off? The old man, which is self, which is earthly, which thinks about earthly things. So it's not about just putting off all the do's and the don'ts. It's not about the list of, well, I don't do that, and 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 I don't. It's not that. It's putting off self. And when we put off self, yes, we won't do those things because it's out of self that is the driving motivation to do all those things that are against God. So the core of the matter is to put off self, not just actions. The beautiful thing is, though, when we put off self and put on the new, the actions will change. Romans 1, again, just there's a whole list there of the actions that come out of the old man. See, this is where the old man These are the actions of the old man. So verse 28, Romans 1:28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Is that an issue here at Joy Christian Fellowship? Probably not. But if I may use your illustration, Jaron, you are wrestling with self yet, aren't you? And it seems to me like you wrestled well. You wrestled redemptively. And how many of us could identify with Jaron's story? I could. There are days when I was focused on self. I was focused on how this affects me. I wasn't focusing on how it affects another person. And so that is the self that needs to be put off. And I think Jaron recognized that as he looked at Christ and he was renewed in the spirit of his mind, he was able to recognize, oh yeah, I need to put that off. And then he was renewed in his mind. And then he was able to put on. And I'm assuming next week, if he keeps that renewed mind, he's going to able to love his employer well. He's going to be able to see, and that's the beautiful thing about the gospel that Paul is inviting us to. It's not a once and done thing. It's an ongoing journey of putting off the self, being renewed in our mind, and putting on the new man. So let's look at what it means to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So it's saying, help me out. Be renewed in the spirit of who? The spirit of who? Is it the spirit of the Lord? Is this verse referring to the spirit of the Lord? What do you think? Any different versions bring it out differently? There's only two spirits. Can you say more? Okay.
Spirit is capitalized.
In yours?
Yes.
Interesting. In that verse 23.
Not in King James. But in other translations it is.
Interesting.
Which would refer the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. Let's see if we can get some clarification on what it means to be renewed in the Spirit. And I invite you to help me come to a good understanding of this. But here's my thoughts. But let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto
unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So, verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? There's the word spirit again. Save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth not man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us. So, let me read a little bit further. 13, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. But we'll just stop reading there. This is where my thoughts were going. So, and I'm willing to be corrected on this. I get the sense the natural man understands how a natural man thinks. It's, to me, I feel like the natural man somewhat has its own spirit. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But in our mind and in our imagination, there is, it's the spirit of man. And the reason I came to that understanding was because the natural man discerns the spirit of man. And maybe I'm using the wrong terminology. But in our imagination, I can connect with a natural man. I understand how a man thinks. It's a little bit more difficult for me to understand how a woman thinks. But as a natural man, we think certain ways. And that is the mind of the Gentile. That is a Gentile mind. That is how Gentiles think, out of that natural mind. But when we're born again, the Spirit of the Lord comes to us. And he sits in the seat and the heart of our imaginations. And his Spirit speaks to our spirit as a person. And we are renewed. See that? And so I'm no longer sitting down here communicating with spirit world stuff. I am engaged in spiritual renewment by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is renewing my spirit to think and be like a new being. And see, that is how we become, and that is how we put on the new man. It's because we are renewed by the Holy Spirit of God in the spirit of my man. And the laws are written in my heart. And now I can walk out as being a new man because I was renewed by the Holy Spirit. Isn't this exciting that we can... But see, if I don't take the time to sit and imagine and connect with the Holy Spirit... And allow his spirit to renew my spirit. If I just allow my imagination and my vain thoughts to think on earthly, whatever Jason can come up with, I'm not going to be able to put on the new man because I'm still me. We need that supernatural power. We need that heavenly wisdom. We need that heavenly imagination. Aaron, does that connect with you? Or am I...
No, that's good.
Therefore, we can be renewed in our mind. We can be renewed in our spirit. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind by the power of the Holy Ghost. by sitting with him. Again, back to Jaron's illustration. I think when he stopped and he sat with the Lord and he looked and gazed upon the Lord, he was renewed in his spirit. Oh, that we would do that more often. And if we would do that more often, we could be that Wednesday afternoon Christian that might make a more of an impact for Jesus. I don't have all this figured out. You know, since the beginning of the year, I took on a different occupation. I'm hauling feed for a local organic processor. And so, just as an illustration, my mind and my imaginations have been a lot on, well, how can I do this and how can I do it well? And like, it's consuming me. I think it's all part of normal as a almost 50-year-old learning a new occupation. I think it's a little harder for older men, but maybe not. But anyway, I find myself being engaged even when I don't need to be engaged, thinking about how am I going to do this job well. I've also, through this experience, have recognized that it doesn't give me as much opportunity to just let my imagination think about scriptures and the Word and God and Christ and the Holy Spirit and His work and the church and all that. It's because I'm filled with earthly. I think it's okay. But if this goes on, I'm sorry to say, but I will suffer. I'm afraid my family will suffer, and you all will suffer too. So let's hope I can get over this learning curve sooner rather than later, and that I can get back to the beautiful meditations and the imagination of who God is and where I'm at in Him and my walk with Him and being able to pray in my spirit for the needs around us. Let us be renewed in the spirit of the man by the Holy Ghost. Be connected so that we can put on that new man. I'm looking forward to the day when I can get out to the farm and I don't have to fret about, well, am I putting it on the right bin? I can just get out the hose, put it on, and praise the Lord. Or be thinking about, wow, that individual is really struggling. Lord, would you meet with him? Wow, I'm cranking the hose onto the connection. Oh, Lord, would you bless? That's more rewarding. Let us engage with our Christian walk at that level. And I know some of us can't. Our minds are, some of our jobs are mentally, you have to engage. And I give you grace for that. But I also challenge you, when are you taking time to sit and be renewed? Or do we get home and, wow, I had a tough day. I need to unwind. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to renew us. I'm speaking to myself, brothers and sisters. I come home and I want to unwind. I want to sit back and relax. I don't want to hear the woes of my family. I want to chill. We are what we love. I'm an imitator. Who am I imitating?
What am I feeding on? What am I being renewed on? All right, let's look at putting on the new man. And I think the only way that we can put on the new man is by having that renewed spirit. There's no other way to put on the new man. You can do all kinds of works of righteousness, but that is not putting on the new man. That is the old self doing good things, and it's not infused with the Holy Spirit. You will be like the rich young ruler. You did all the laws and regulations, but you did not have the mind and the spirit of the Lord. You will be like the goats that, when did we not do these things? We need to be renewed by the Spirit of the Lord, and then we will do the works. I did want to go over. Hold on, let me pull some of my thoughts together. Yeah, I think for the sake of just going through it here a little bit, so back to putting off, I wanted to go down through some of the things that Paul brought out in this passage to the church. I'm just going to pull out the things that he was encouraging us to put off. And starting in verse 25, he says, put away lying. That's what self does. Self lies to protect itself. Verse 26, put away anger and sin not. See, a lot of anger comes out of pride and self-protection. Putting away self also doesn't steal anymore. Selfishness steals. Selfish people steal. Verse 29, selfish people let corrupt communication come out of their mouth, and they don't care about how it impacts another person. Selfish people become bitter. They become they're angry in verse 31. And they clamor and they do evil speaking. That's out of the old man. Now, let's look at the new man. The new man that is renewed by the Spirit of the Lord. The new man. The man that has sat and meditated and the Word of God is guiding him and the Spirit of the Lord is renewing him and the gospel has been penetrating his soul and he's becoming that new man. What does that look like? How does that work out? And again, it's not about the law, the list of doing. It's about being that new man. It's about being that new man that is renewed in the spirit of our minds. And out of that comes that fruit. Out of that comes that life. Put on the new man, which is the work of the Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit connects with our spirit and our minds and our imaginations is renewed, then our actions are renewed. Then we can become imitators of God. Then, in verse 25, we don't lie, but we speak every man truth with his neighbor. See, that is the new man. Why speak truth to every man? Because we recognize that we are members one of another. We are not selfish people. We are members one of another. What I do affects you. What you do affects me. We are members one of another. See, this is how the renewed mind teaches us that the Holy Spirit says, you are required to help your brother and sister. You're not alone in this journey. Verse 28, instead of stealing, the new man says, wow, let me work hard so that I can give to him that needeth. That's totally against self. That's totally against our own personal agenda. That's Christ. That is the Spirit of Christ. That is the new man that has been renewed by the Spirit of the Lord, and thinking, I'm not here to serve myself. I'm here to give to him that needeth. That's the renewed spirit. See, this is the practical outworking of all the foundation that Paul was laying out. You have been quickened. How? By the Holy Spirit, and because of the Holy Spirit quickening your spirit, you can give freely. Only if you're renewed. Only if you're renewed. Only if you're an imitator of Christ because you've been renewed. Verse 29. The new man can use his mouth to edify and to build up because he's been renewed. See, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart and saying, you are worthy. You are a good person. I love you. Isn't that some of what Jaron was saying? I sat with the Lord and he told me how valuable I am. And out of that, I can give back. It's because I was renewed in my spirit. I have worth. And therefore, I have worth. Now I'm going to extend that worth to others. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to use my mouth to bless others because they have worth. But that only can really come out of an authentic heart is when I've been renewed myself. When the Holy Spirit is working in my heart and grace is flowing and I'm connecting with him and I have that relationship that Jaron was talking about, then I'm able to give out that new grace with my mouth, and I can bless, and I can encourage, and I can be there even if I don't feel it. I can still bless. Brothers and sisters, this is day in and day out Christianity. It's not Sunday afternoon. It's not Sunday morning. It's not just a life of hypocrisy. It's the work of the Lord. And it's not hypocrisy. It's not self-righteousness. It's the Spirit of the Lord renewing your man. You are an imitator. The question is, of what? Verse 32, the new man is kind. The new man can be kind because he recognized that Jesus was kind to him. The Spirit renewed him and showed him how kind that he was when he deserved hell. See that, brothers and sisters, just let your mind and imagination just think about some of that sometimes. Let your spirit renewed at the reality that I deserved wrath. But no, he had extended kindness to us. And so the new man, the man that is renewed in the Spirit becomes a new man, and he can, out of that life that he's being blessed with, he can also be kind one to another, and he can be tender-hearted, and he can forgive those that do him wrong. And he can forgive those because he recognizes that I've been forgiven. Brothers and sisters, grace that is flowing into our hearts can be grace given out to others. Do we want that renewed mind? Then sit with the Lord. Communicate. Sit at his feet. Let the Spirit guide you. Let the Spirit speak to you. Probably the worst thing that we as Christian faith is that we don't take time to let our imaginations think about who God is. There's so many voices wanting to take our attention and so many things that want to take our eyes, so many screens that want to take us away from sitting and contemplating and imagining and letting our mind be renewed by the Spirit of the Lord. I think that's our battle. I just want to encourage us. If we want the new man,
If we want to experience that new man life and that new man power, I think we're going to have to put away, we're going to have to make time for letting the Spirit speak to us. Amen. And I don't know why the Lord is telling us twice today, but he said it through Jared and he's saying it through again, and we just happen to be here again today in Ephesians. You know, just I didn't plan on preaching it today. I would have planned on preaching it last time it was going to snow, but here we are. What is the Lord saying? I think it's a common theme that the Lord wants to connect with his people. He invites us. And so again, the invitation is to you. Do you want to be renewed? I want to be renewed. I've been forgiven so much.
Thank you, Jesus.
I didn't deserve salvation. I turned my back on the Lord when he invited me into his holy presence at the age of 14. But I chose to say, no, I want self. I want the old man. I want to think like the Gentile thinks. I think there's value. I thought that was the ultimate life, to live like the Gentile. And I could have passed away in those years, but he had let me experience that Gentile mind lifestyle for 10 years. But it was empty. I was lied to. Satan lied to me. Is he lying to you? Don't let him. Don't let him. It's not worth it. Young men, young women, don't let Satan lie to you that the way of the Gentiles is a good life. The way of the Christian is a better life. The peace of the Lord, that connection, being able to serve others, not serving self, it's a better life. I don't know if the Lord's been speaking to us. I'm just going to open up as an invitation. If you want to be renewed, and this isn't about some dramatic born-again experience. This is simply about just renewing, the desire to renew your connection with the Lord. And I don't know if you have to repent of something or whatever. I'm just going to leave that between you and the Lord. But the house of God needs to also show confession. And so I'm just going to invite you to, as a way of confessing that you want to be renewed or whatever, I invite you to make a public affirmation or a public acknowledgement of, I've been too mentally preoccupied with Gentile mindset. I don't know what the Lord's been touching to you today, but I just want to make an invitation. If you want to renew your new man, your commitment to be renewed on a more regular basis, I invite you to a public confession by coming up here. So, song leader, do we have an invitational song, one or two verses? And like I said, it doesn't need to be some dramatic thing, but just if you have been nudged to desire that sweet communion with the Lord, do business with him. Do it publicly. I will turn the time over. Do you have a verse or two, Roy? So, yeah, sing one or two verses, however you feel led, and then I'll just turn the time over to you, Clint, however you want to proceed from there. God have his way here.